This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
21 minutes after 4 o'clock, this is ESPN 1530. There was a story that came out last week that indicated that the state of Ohio could be inching closer to having legalized sports gambling. A bunch of lawmakers in the state Senate unfurled a plan that would allow for a bunch of sports betting licenses around Ohio. I have no interest in talking to politicians, either on air or off. So I wanted to get somebody on who can give us an objective analysis of what's going to happen in Ohio with sports gambling. I want it to happen. I know she wants it to happen, but I don't want to hear from a politician. So my friend Jackie Rowe, who is the CEO of Game Day Communications, is going to tell us when I might be able to make a bet in Ohio legally. It's good to have you. How are you?
Good afternoon. Great to be on the show. Thanks, Mo.
Since you and I talked about this, I think last summer, from then to now, how closer are we?
I feel much better about maybe placing a bet January 1, 2022. On our favorite sporting event. But it seems like the lawmakers in Columbus got a little excited and put their heads together and have come up with, I would say, the framework for what the legislation should look like. And now we'll have public testimony and, you know, people will come in and share their thoughts. So he keeps calling it Senator, the good Senator, Kirk Schering keeps calling it malleable. And so we'll see. But I think it's, you know, it's a good start.
Is there substantial opposition among politicians? And I guess the other part of that would be, if there are, given everything that's happened to this state economically over the last 14 months, why is there any opposition?
That's a really good question, because if you don't want to gamble, don't gamble, right?
Right.
But all you have to do is look to our neighbors. And, you know, Michigan, God love them, they went live with sports gambling March of 2020. So you know how that story started out, pretty slow. But since March 2020, they have wagered in the state of Michigan almost $1 billion, so $990 million. And just in March alone, Michiganders wagered $359 million. So all you have to do is look to our neighbors, you know, Indiana, $316 million was wagered in March. The money's there. The money will come into our state.
So, yeah, I mean, I've seen some of these figures, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, states that border us, and I wonder this sort of rhetorically, but do we have a concrete idea of how much money from Ohioans goes to those states from people who want to wager legally but can't do it here?
Well, look at March. Look at Hollywood, Lawrenceburg in March. $23 million was wagered. Look at Belterra, $40 million. I would guarantee that's some folks traveling over the border from Cincinnati and Ohio.
So these licenses that have been talked about, tell me how that works. Is that going to be limited only to brick-and-mortar casinos that exist? Will I be able to do it on my phone? Will we have FanDuel and BetRivers and the like, which I could do in Indiana? Will that now come to Ohio and I can do it from my house instead of having to drive over the border? How's this going to work?
That's the plan. I think that's probably the best way to go. But there's, not to get in the weeds on this, but there's two classes. The Class A is basically your casino sports book. So we have 11 casinos and racinos in our state. So, you know, the casinos or racinos, they're probably going to partner with FanDuel or DraftKings. That, who can bank the bet, right, which all they're set up to do. The really interesting part of the bill is this Class B license. So this Class B license is a brick-and-mortar sports book, so not a casino or a racino, but this is anyone with $1 million for the three-year license who can open up a facility with, you know, big-screen TVs, mobile apps, prop betting, but they've got to make their case that it's all for the good of the economic impact of Ohio. So this will not be, hey, Mo bought license number one, Jackie bought license number two. It's going to be your case on how you're going to drive economic impact to the state. So I think that's kind of interesting. That's set up for probably our sports teams who could set, or, you know, they could own a sports book near the stadium.
Yeah, you know, there's been some talk about the new soccer stadium on the west end of Cincinnati. There potentially being room for folks to eventually be able to make wagers there. All of the major professional sports leagues in this country have in some way, shape, or form tied themselves to sports wagering. The NCAA has always sought to distance itself from sports wagering, and individual colleges have as well. What is the likelihood that when legalized sports gambling comes to Ohio, that I'll be able to make a wager on, let's say, a Bengals game, but not a UC or an Ohio State game?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in Michigan, Indiana, you can bet on college sports. The Casino Control Commission, they will regulate the sports book, so they will decide what collegiate betting looks like. And, of course, the colleges are banding together to advocate that they not be included in the legislation. So we'll have to see on that. But I think competitively you've got to add them in with maybe just some guardrails. You've got to protect the integrity of the sport, right? For not only the game, but also for the bettor. You know, that the bet is there. If you win, you're going to get paid.
What have other states around us done to best regulate legalized sports gambling?
You know, I think the commissions, I think, are solid. I think the regulators and the operators have really good working relationships. And that's what it's really about. It's about educating people. It's about, you know, gambling addiction services and programs. And so this sports betting revenue is slated to be taxed at 10% in Ohio. So that would benefit public and private education, so our school system, and then also gambling addiction programs as well. So they're really good at the whole sports integrity and making sure the guardrails are set.
And Mike DeWine has been on board with this the whole time?
He has, yeah. So hopefully he remains committed. And I think the committee that has put this together, the gaming committee, has really done a nice job of listening to those you name the association that has testified in Columbus. And so I think this is a good starting point. And then I'm sure, like the senator said, Senator Schering, that, you know, it'll be fine-tuned. But they hope to vote on it before summer.
So, I was going to go there next. Kind of give me a timeline of how this is expected to work, whether or not we get legalized sports gambling in 2022 or not.
Yeah, I think the summer, you know, they'll vote. I think it'll be a positive vote. And then you'd like to give your operators and your regulators probably 6 months or so just to get all, you know, the infrastructure in place, you know, build the sports book, you know, order the TVs and, you know, figure out which operator or promoter they're going to work with, a FanDuel or DraftKings. So I think January 1 looks optimistic.
For our friends listening to us right now in Kentucky, this has been a hot button issue there for a while. In fact, even longer, you know, go back many, many years talking about the conversion of racetracks to racinos and the like. What is the status of potential legalized sports wagering in the bluegrass?
Yeah, they're behind us. And I think, you know, there's a lot of anxiety around the horse racing industry and what that will look like and the preservation of that industry. So, you know, hopefully we set a good precedent. Of course, they've got Indiana right there that I think has set a very good precedent. I like the way Indiana set up, and I like the way Michigan set up. So I think they will have to follow suit soon. I think if you're a state governor, you're looking at this money saying, I've got to get this into my state budget coffers.
Yeah, I mean, especially over the last 14 months, this is something I've been championing in my own little stupid way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But watching Ohio money, and nothing against folks in Indiana or Pennsylvania or Michigan, but watching Ohio and Kentucky money go to those states when it is so badly needed in both the Commonwealth and here in the state of Ohio. If you're not a sports gambling aficionado, if you have no interest in it, I would think you have an interest in sweetening the budgets of the state governments, especially in the face of all the economic turmoil that has wreaked havoc during the pandemic. And so I really don't see a downside.
No, I would totally agree. The only thing I'd like to see is some of that money go to sports facilities and sports tourism and events and really see that, because Ohio has such a competitive advantage, but we need some upgrades. You know, we need some upgrades, certainly in our city. I'm sure Columbus, Cleveland, and Toledo would argue the same thing. You know, there's a lot of good events coming into our state over the next 5 or 6 years. You know, we just had the NFL draft in Cleveland. Columbus, Cleveland are also hosting NCAA tournaments. We're still on the short list for World Cup 2026. Of course, the new TQL Stadium is opening. But, you know, there are some upgrades we could use to our facilities, such as the arena and just having a, you know, a multi-purpose arena that can host NCAA events, for instance.
Yeah, no, we're on the same page there. All right, you got to keep me updated. I want this to happen. I don't want to drive to Indiana anymore. I don't want to have to, you know, I don't want to have to, like, you know, park and there's that place on the state line. You sit there, they look at you weird, you make your wager, you drive back. I don't want to do that anymore.
I went over to Bloomington for the NCAA tournament where my beloved Bobcats won, and it was so refreshing to sit there and play foot on my phone in the parking lot. It was great.
All right. It's going to happen soon, Jackie. I appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much.
You. Take care, Mo.
All right. We're inching closer. Sports, legalized sports wagering in Ohio. I'm told that Brennaman and Jones on Baseball today is actually about baseball. So we have that to look forward to coming up in just about 15 minutes. And I have a new reason why I badly want the Reds to win the World Series while David Bell is the manager. And you will hear that reason next on ESPN 1530.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Long Neck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.